their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still, Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, "It's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him songs, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. I sing the mighty power of God. God wants to hear you sing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 37, please, tonight. Psalms 37, as you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read from the Word of God tonight. Psalms 37, beginning at verse number 1. I do want to say, as we get into the scripture reading for a minute, we showed the memorial video, and we have our church members, or there's some pastors and evangelists that have had an influence on our church. But if you have a church family member for some reason that's we missed in the video, or you have an updated picture of some sort, some of them we kind of had what we have, but if you let me know on that, or you email or send those in, or something was not quite correct, let us know. Every once in a while we hear that, and it's been wrong for years, and we didn't know that or had an updated picture, that would be a help with that. But a lot of people that have an influence on our church. I think of many people in there that mother, father, husband or wife, or people that have had a huge part in our church that have gone to heaven, but their impact is still here today. And so we're very blessed by those that have given their lives and served here at our church. Psalms 37, verse number 1. As you find that, we'll read these first five verses together. I'll read them as you follow along. Psalms 37, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Let's pray. We do ask for your help, Lord, with this service tonight. Lord, please fill me with your power, with your spirit. Help me, Lord, to say what I should and not what I shouldn't. And would you please just help every listener to be Holy Spirit filled and led and do work as only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated, but don't go to sleep on me, though, all right? Help me out. Psalm 37, as we look at this passage here, there's a number of phrases that you find in Psalm 37. We're not going to cover all of them, but you see in verse number 3, it talks about trust in the Lord. And verse number 4 talks about delighting in the Lord. Verse number 5 talks about committing your way unto the Lord. Verse number 7 is resting in the Lord. And verse number 34 the Bible says, talks about waiting on the Lord. And we're going to take a phrase here really from verse number 4, as the Lord put this on my heart this past week, about delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. To delight is to find pleasure, longing, or find that it's a valuable thing, something that you delight in. Everyone has something that really gets your attention. It gets a sparkle in your eye. It gets your heart pumping. It's something that you enjoy doing, that you love. And that should be something that we should delight in the Lord. We should delight in the Lord. Again, everyone has something they're passionate about. People will go and watch a sporting event, and they'll paint their face up and a whole lot of other things we won't mention as well, and go to an event, and they'll go through the freezing cold or extreme hot temperatures and all the get-up they have, and they'll scream and yell for a team to throw a ball through the end zone. Now, I could watch pretty much any sporting event, minus a few. Pretty much any sport, I could enjoy it, I could cheer for it, I could get involved in it and enjoy that. But may we not find more delight and pleasure in a game than we do in the Lord. Some can't wait for the next clothing sale to arrive, or the new clothing line to drop, or the next Dutch Bros sticker to arrive at the Dutch Bros shop. I told our school this week, I'm working on 10 reasons why Dutch Bros is a cult, and they all agree that it is, and they're going to help me write that. And we have a problem that we're working through with our young people here, and some of you as well. But something you get passionate about and you just can't wait to get there. Maybe it's the golfer and you can't wait to get to the new golf course or get the new golf club, and you can't wait to get out there, and that's something that just sparks your interest and you find pleasure and enjoyment. And none of these things wrong other than the coffee. None of the things wrong other than the coffee part. And hunters can't wait to go and get the next kill, get the new gun, and shoot the duck out of the sky, or kill Bambi's dad, and to mount it, and you just can't wait, and you just find that joy and pleasure in life about killing an innocent animal and eating it, and that's the joy that you find there. Many times we will spend on our pleasures and our enjoyment, we'll spend all the money that is needed for our pleasure, right? You could talk about it. Man, you could go on about it. You go out of your way, time, money, all that, because why? You find pleasure and enjoyment. You delight in that. Some people, they're not talkative people, but you know, that man, that he doesn't talk at all. You talk about his job or his hobby, and he's going to talk your ear off about whatever that is, because you found what he enjoys doing. But may we not get more excited about the things of life that are not wrong, other than the coffee part. Nothing else is wrong. But may we delight in the Lord. See, I believe it would be, I'd be wrong to get excited about the other things that may not be a sin, but then to come to church and you hear the singing about God and the preaching about the Lord, and you get in the Word of God and you sit there and stare at the song leader, stare at the preacher, falling asleep in church. I know, I've seen some of you out there. And all of a sudden it's like, when are we done? But if it's your hobby, your interest, I know I'm kind of hitting your area. We all have our areas of your interest, your pleasure, your joy, your longing. And you talk about that, and man, you're pumped up about it. But then how many times as a Christian do we get to the things of the Lord and we think, oh, I heard this song before, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And we go, I've sang the song before. I know the notes. I've sang the choir song. I've heard the message. I know where the preacher is going. I've heard the illustration before. And we go through the things of life, the spiritual things of life, and it doesn't excite us anymore like it used to. The song, the preaching, the Bible time, the prayer just doesn't move us, but there's a longing, a desire in our heart for the things of this world that aren't evil and wrong, but something that's maybe taken the place of God, something that we delight in more than the Lord. See, God wants number one in our life, doesn't he? He's a jealous God. He wants number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He should be number one on the priority list because he's better than anything else in life, that we delight in the Lord. How can we come to God and be bored? How can we come to God's word and think, I guess I have to get through it? And I understand it's a battle of the flesh and the spirit, and it's a spiritual battle we face. But many times we're losing that battle because we're feeding the things of the flesh and the things of this world, and we're not feeding the spirit. And so we come to the spiritual thing sometimes, and it's just kind of like, oh, I guess so. It's okay. Are we done yet? What's for lunch? I think I talked to at least a dozen people on the way out of church this morning about lunch today. Why? Because I was hungry. And I was talking to everyone I could about food because that's what was on my mind. The things that you delight in, you talk about, you can't wait to get to them. Your heart is longing and yearning for those things. And may those things never excite us more than the Lord does. May we never get excited more about the things of this life than we do about the things of God. How can we show up to church and sing to the Lord and hear from his word and not move our hearts and not change our lives? How can we come to our Bible time like it's a duty and just check it off the list and get it out of the way and get to the next thing in the day? We've all been there, right? But may we long and desire that is the most exciting part of our day. That's the highlight of the day, that we get to spend time with God because I delight in the Lord. I delight. I have a yearning, a longing, a desire that it's a valuable thing. Think about it. The God of this universe that created you, that saved your soul, that has a perfect plan for your life, that knows everything about you, he wants to spend time with you. He wants to stop and listen to you and spend time to you and speak to your heart. We preached last week about the subject of walking with the Lord and really revisiting the subject again, because it's the most crucial area of a Christian's life, of your time with God, and that's really where you find your delight in the Lord. You find your delight in the Lord in your personal time with God. You say, what's a big deal about your time with the Lord? That's a time where God speaks to your heart. What's a big deal about spending time with the Lord? That's a time where God calms your fears, where God fills the emptiness of your soul and your spirit. That's a time where God brings joy to your life where maybe there's been sorrow, where God directs your steps when you feel like I don't know which direction to go. That time with God is where God reveals himself to you, makes himself real to you. Your time with God is where I believe that God gives you a bit of a glimpse of heaven, where you get a foretaste of what we'll find for all eternity is that we get to spend time reading about the God of heaven and reading from the Word of God and spending time in prayer. And the more you spend time with God, the more you delight in His Word and in His way. But the less you spend time with God and His Word, the less you have a desire for it, right? You just don't desire it anymore. If you've ever gone without eating something for a period of time that you enjoy, you get back to that again and you think, it wasn't the same as it was because it's been out of your life for so long. Do we delight in the Lord? There's nothing that God and His Word and prayer cannot fix in your life. There is nothing that God and His Word and prayer cannot fit. Nothing else in this world can fill that emptiness and give you peace and joy and contentment like God can. But how many times do we try to fill all that with all the other things in life? And we try to fill it with all the other things that we enjoy, but it's for a moment, but then there's emptiness there, and there's nothing like the filling of God as you spend time with Him and His Word. Number one, do you delight in the Lord? Do you delight in the Lord? There is something so sweet and precious about spending time with God. There's nothing comparable to it in this world that you get alone with God and His Word and get on your knees in prayer and you say, God, I just want to talk with you today. I just want to spend time with you. And you speak to God and you hear God speak to your heart and you find delight in the Lord. One of my pastors growing up would write in the front of every Bible, either the sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin. And too many times we get away from God on the things of this world, and all of a sudden we wonder, why? How come I don't love God's word as I used to? How come I don't look forward to going to church like I used to? How come I don't sing about God like I used to, and it seems like it's just not there anymore? And I just, you know, I'm not feeling it. We base too much in our life about feelings, don't we? You know, just feelings. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like staying married. I don't feel like doing. What do feelings have to do with the requirements and the duties and the commitment in life? You delight in the Lord. Some days you think, I don't feel like spending time with God, but that's when I really need to spend time with the Lord. You ever notice when you get to that time and you think, God, I really don't feel like reading my Bible now. I don't really like feel like praying and spending time with you. But I'm going to do it anyway with the right spirit. Lord, change my heart. Help me to, you know, speak to me. And you get in God's word. And sometimes those are the sweetest moments you have with God. And God just breaks through that hardness, that bitterness, that emptiness. And God fills that empty spot in your life. Delight in the Lord. So many verses to the book of Psalms talk about delighting in the Lord. Psalms 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 40 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 119 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119, verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 35 of that chapter, make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein in thy commandments do I delight. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Psalms 119, verse number 70, I laughed as I read this. It says this, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Their heart is as fat as grease. Sometimes the Bible is so descriptive and you think, Lord, that was very interesting the way you put that right there. But I delight in thy law. Let thy tender mercies come upon me that I may live. For thy law is my delight. I have longed for thy salvation, and thy law is my delight. We could go on and on through the word of God, and specifically through the psalmist, that see, I delight in thy word. I'm satisfied with your word. I find joy and pleasure and contentment in your word. It's my delight. Do you delight in the word of God tonight? Do you delight in that time that you get alone with God? We have a teenager and a couple of younger ones, and there's times where life gets busy and there's things going on, and my in-laws are great about taking the kids once a week when they're here, and we squeeze every minute as we can. No, we're not trying to abuse it at all, but we enjoy my wife and I just getting alone. Sometimes we get dinner and just go back to the house, and we think, it's quiet, and it's great. Sometimes we'll get something to eat, and we'll go park down by the river and just watch something, you know, a duck float by or something run across the grass and just sit there and just, we enjoy being together. We delight in those times, look forward to those times. We love our children, but we enjoy being together. We delight in those times. We look forward to those opportunities that we get together. We delight in those. May I ask you this, do you delight in the Lord? Do you look forward to that time with God? God, I'm looking forward to spending time with you tonight. I'm looking forward to being with you in the morning. Is my time done already? Man, do I already have to leave? Or is it the other way around? Do I have to again? Is it that time? Am I done reading? I've been praying for how long? What's the spirit? Do you delight in the Lord? Do you delight in the Lord? There is nothing more valuable and precious than you'll find in the whole world than your time with God. Nothing more valuable, nothing more precious. There's no friendship that comes close to your relationship with the Lord. There's no possession that compares to your time with God. There's no job title. There's no adventure. There's nothing that can take the place of what only God can fill in your life. But how many times do we try to fill that everything else in that spot, in that place that only God can fill? Do you delight in the Lord? Number two, do you depend on God's leading? Psalms 37, verse number 23, if you look at this verse, we didn't read it earlier, but verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God says, take a step forward, and you say, yes, sir. And he says, take a step to your left, yes, sir. No arguing, no complaining, but God says, here's where I want you to go. Too many times, how many do we say, God, I don't think you're going the right direction. I don't think you know what you're doing with my life. Now, we may not say that out loud, but in our heart, we say, God, do I have to do that? Do I have to go there? Are you sure? The Bible says the steps of a good man or a godly man, they're ordered or directed by the Lord. And where God literally takes you and says, go here, go there, take this step, stop, wait. I think of the Israelites as they went into the wilderness and that pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, they came down and God said, at what time the pillar moves, you move. And when it stays, you stay. Whether it be a day or a week or a month or a year, if it stays, you stay. If it moves, you move. Guess what? God didn't tell them, I'm going to move it tomorrow. The day came and it started moving and they packed up and they started following that pillar. I'm just going to follow where God leads. He said, but God, where are we going? Just follow God's leading. But God, what are we stopping now? Like your kids do in the backseat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Don't ask. When are you going to be there? 7 years. Just don't ask. It'll be shorter than that, but maybe that'll help your questions, all right? Depend on God's leading. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And listen to this, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of the good man, that godly man, you say, God, I'm going to delight. Yeah, he says, I'm going to follow your steps since I delight in your way. Then you say, God, I'm looking to go your direction. Wherever you want me to go, that's where I want to go in my life. They're ordered by the Lord. What God tells you what to do, you do. Where God tells you where to go, you go. What to say, you say. Very simply and clearly, are your steps ordered by the Lord? Do you depend on God? Let's put it this way. Do you depend on God for every single decision for your life? Is every decision that you make in your life dependent on God's direction? Too many times, here's the problem. I think I know better than God. That's foolish, isn't it? That's foolish to think, how could I know better than God? But sometimes I think, God, I know what your word said. I know what the Holy Spirit is leading. But God, I think I know better. You know, I was telling Sunday school hour, I think it was this morning, that we went on a trip this week and we had our GPS going. I made 5 to 10 wrong turns on this trip alone. With the GPS going, sometimes it wasn't talking to me. We're trying to figure that out. But sometimes you think, it's telling you, take a left. You're like, I'm not going there. I know the right way to go. Because I'm a man. And then you get lost and you ask for directions or redirects you and you figure out the right way to go because you realize they knew the right way to go after all. How many times has God said, here's where you need to go in your life. Here's the decision you need to make. And you think, God, but if I make that decision, man, what are people going to say? And how's it going to affect my job, my family, my life? And you just trust and follow the Lord. And guess what? When you follow the Lord, you will delight in His way. When you follow God, you will delight in His way. And you say, God, I know that I'm exactly where you want me to be. Isn't that a great place to be? Exactly. Do you know with all of your heart that you are exactly where God wants you to be in your life? That is only found by your steps being directed by the Lord. Do you pray about decisions that you make in your life? I hope you do. Is there any decision that is too small not to pray for? Is there any decision too big that you can't pray for it and say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but would you direct my steps? Are you depending on the Lord? Are you depending on God? Do you depend on God for every decision in your life? Do you delight in the Lord? Do you depend on the Lord? And then number three, how do you delight in the Lord? You must deny the flesh. Deny the flesh. Why? Because your flesh is constantly battling against the Lord every single moment of every single day of your life. The flesh wants to win, and the flesh is contrary and opposite. The flesh is wicked. It's deceitful. Have you ever noticed this? Your flesh will lie to you, right? It'll lie to you. And say, this decision is good for you. You ever got to about 11 o'clock at night and thought, I really need a bowl of ice cream. I really need a bowl, like, I will not sleep tonight if I somehow don't get a bowl of ice cream or the cookies that are in there. And you ever have that battle in your mind? Like, you know you shouldn't. And you tell yourself no enough, and eventually the flesh is weak, all right? Eventually you lose the battle, and you've denied the flesh so many times, but then eventually you say, you know what, I give up. And you say, the bowl of ice cream, here we come. And it's not a little one, it's a big one. And you say, I can't say no to the flesh. And then you eat it, and you try to go to bed, and you think, that was a bad decision, right? It was a bad, I knew I shouldn't do it, but the flesh got the victory. And a simple illustration, but how many times in our life do we let the flesh get the victory in our life? You want to say something that you shouldn't, and you say, I shouldn't do it, and it just comes out. We're not delighting in the Lord. We're not depending on God. He's not directing our steps when we let our flesh take over in our life. How many Christians today are allowing the flesh, that sinful nature, just to take over in our lives? We let the flesh just take control in our life. Think about this. Your sinful nature will push you so far away from the Lord. Think about that. Your sinful nature will push you away from God and away from God and away from God and away from God till you get angry at the Lord, till you get bitter at the Lord, and to where you are so far away from God because you let the flesh take over. How does that happen? One step at a time. Remember, that good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord, but that flesh going the wrong direction, that's one step at a time going in the wrong direction. All of a sudden you turn around and think, how did I get where I am today? Because we let the flesh take over. Your sinful nature will dominate your mind. It will dominate your desires. It will turn your heart against the Lord. You cannot live in the flesh and the sinful nature and desire the things of the Lord. If you walk in the flesh, you will not delight and desire the things of God. The day will come where you say, you know what? I'm not reading the Bible anymore, and we close it up. I'm not listening to godly music anymore, we put that away. I'm not praying and talking to God anymore, and we close and put away our prayer time. We start slipping away from church and walking away from God. I would say little by little, but big step by big step away from God. And you start saying yes to the flesh, and you're saying no to God. That is a dangerous place to be in your life. I think of a man named Lot in the Bible. Remember Lot? Raised in the home of Abraham. Right? Abraham. Father of the nation of Israel, friend of God, and he was taught the things of God. Raised in a godly home and adopted into their family, really. And there came a time where the herdsmen were fighting with each other, and Abraham told them and said to Lot, he said, you go one direction, I'll go the other direction. And what did Lot do? He lifted up his eyes. And he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he chose with his flesh, he chose with his eyes, and he started going a wrong direction in his life. Do you think for a moment that Lot ever realized or believed that he'd be living in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the most wicked cities that are the most renowned wicked cities in all of human history, destroyed by fire and brimstone? Because why? Because he listened to his flesh and didn't follow the Lord. You say, no, I'm not going to end up there. You say yes to the flesh. That's the only place to end up. You stop walking with God and spending time with the Lord, and that's the only direction to go, is to head to a place of the flesh and to destruction. Why? Because our flesh is wicked. Our flesh is deceitful. Our flesh wants nothing to do with the things of God, and our flesh craves and desires sinful things. You must be so careful. You must be so wise in your life to delight in the things of God. Why? To walk in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because what happens with the lust of the flesh, then the works of the flesh are manifest and come up in our lives. Every single day you must decide if you're going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. I could say this actually, you don't choose to walk in the flesh or the Spirit. You only choose to walk in the Spirit because the flesh is second nature. The flesh just comes out. Are you delighting in the Lord? How was your time with God? If we get back to that tonight, how was your time with God every day? Do you have a special place and a time and a meeting with God every day where you say, God, I delight in your Lord. I delight in the Lord. I delight in God's word. And you get your Bible out and you read the pages of God's holy word written for you, and God speaks to your heart and God changes your life and God helps you to grow in your life and gives you wisdom, and you pray and spend time with God and you delight in the word of God. But how many times do we say no to God and our flesh starts taking over? Our sinful nature starts dominating, and all of a sudden the desires and delight for the things of God get smaller and smaller and smaller, till eventually that desire for God is gone. Do you delight in the Lord tonight? Is God the center of your attention? If there's one thing that you could do tomorrow, would that be spending time with God? Is that the one thing you're looking forward to more than anything else and say, God, I can't wait to start my day and to spend time with you. I want to delight in the Word of God. Are you depending every decision on the Lord? Are you depending on the Lord for every decision in your life? And then are you denying the flesh? It's a battle, the flesh against the spirit. Do you see the value of your time with God? Do you see it as valuable, as precious, a yearning and a longing for the things of God, or has that gotten smaller and smaller and smaller in your life? I hope and I pray that our desire for the things of God is growing, that we're growing closer to God and spending more time with God and His Word. Your walk with God is the key and crucial and pivotal area of your Christian life, and it is the key to success or failure in your life. How is it going tonight? If you were to come to God and say, God, how is my time with you, my walk with God today? Am I delighting in your word? Head bowed, eyes closed, would you stand to your feet?